Pray with me. Now, Lord, take my lips and speak through them. Take our minds and think through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire with love for yourself, Lord Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. In the year that King Uzziah died, must have been almost as much of a shock for those poor subjects of King Uzziah as the phone call I got late yesterday afternoon. Hello, Andrew. This is Alistair. Bill can't preach tomorrow. Kevin's busy. Can you preach tomorrow? Sure. Why not? Haven't done it for a while. Not sure what I'm going to say. Yes, I will. And that shock was even compounded more this morning. For about at 9:45, I was asked if I would celebrate as well. In the year King Uzziah died, I love Isaiah 6, and in fact, after the sermon circle on Wednesday, I had a sneaking hunch that I might be preaching on it today. Couldn't be a better text, but what a challenge. Well, I guess I could use the sermon that I preached way back there in St. James in Nanaimo. I was a student in seminary. Bishop Jenks was the rector in those days. It was Theological Sunday, Education Sunday, and wisely or not, we were inflicted upon the church. Well, lucky for you and probably for me, I couldn't find that sermon. And I'm sure my mom and dad and my brothers couldn't remember it either. In the year that King Uzziah died, you'd be surprised at the number of sermons that I have on file. Let's see, Trinity Sunday, year B. My filing system isn't very good, but it's not that bad. I've found at least a half a dozen sermons. Most of them made interesting reading, but I'm pleased to say that I've grown some over the years. I gave up trying to prove or trying to make sense of Aquinas' theories on the proofs of the existence of God. And frankly, St. Patrick's four-leaf clover never ever made any sense to me at all. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne. You know, that really is what this Sunday is all about. You and I have come through perhaps what is the most interesting part of the church year. We started off in Advent, and from there we were expectant. We went to Christmas, where we celebrated the birth of a baby. We then went to Epiphany, where Jesus was manifest. Through Lent, Holy Week, and the glorious celebration of Easter. And finally, last Sunday, to Pentecost. And we've worn purple, white, green, gold, black, and red. Just about all the colors in the rainbow. But I'm sure most of us have forgotten what we got for Christmas. And we've forgotten our New Year's resolutions. And even the red t-shirts that some of you wore last Sunday are more than likely back in their drawer. All that's in the past. And what we look forward to, 20 some odd weeks of the Pentecost season, ordinary time, where we learn about the intricacies of our faith. In the year that King Uzziah died, this Sunday stands out. It is one on its own, and it stands alone. And it is all about looking up, all about standing up straight. It is all about God. In the year that King Uzziah died, the world was in a mess. People had joined and enjoyed more than 40 years of peace. And now literally all hell was breaking loose. There was no government. People were hungry. And all those nations lurking around the borders were looking for signs of weakness so that they might invade. Sounds like today, doesn't it? Isaiah ought to have been beating his breasts. He ought have been running for his life. It's too bad, though, that that wasn't God's plan. In the year that King Uzziah died, God asked the question, "Who then shall I send?" And crazy though it might seem, Isaiah says, "Here am I. Send me." Telling the people in the sermon circle on Wednesday that way back when I sang in the choir at St. Paul's and Nanaimo, we had a reader who made that passage from Isaiah 6 just come alive. He read it from the Authorized Version, and if you want to read the Word of God, that's where you might find it. And when it came to the question, "Who then shall I send?" it was me who said, "Here I am, send me." Oh, I didn't say it out loud. I was afraid of our choir master. But I did say it to myself, and I did say it to God. What a crazy thing to say. I was just a kid, twice as green and three times as stupid. But I would have gone, and God would have gone with me. In fact, he did, and he has. I grew up in England as a boy. It was those difficult post-war years. The new queen had been crowned, and she and Prince Philip came to town. I'm sure you can imagine the excitement. Everything was painted, everything cleaned, and there was bunting hanging everywhere. The town I had lived in was becoming a new town. Hundreds, perhaps even thousands, came to live in our once peaceful small town. And as a consequence, new housing was springing up on what had once been farmland. And with housing, new schools, shopping centers, industry, and a new town had to have a new church. And they were there to open the church. That's why the Queen came to town. And what a day it was. I was a cub in those days. And with the Brownies, the Girl Guides, and the Scouts, we lined the route. And as she walked by, she spoke to some of us. Not me, I'm sad to say. I was in the second row. Boy, what I would have given to have the chance to have the Queen speak to me. What I would give still today. It was a magic moment. And I know I never stood taller. My face never shone brighter. And I had a lump in my throat. And there was absolutely no doubt as to whose subject I was. Well, you know, Nicodemus had that same feeling when Jesus came to town. Nicodemus wasn't some lanky kid standing on the side of the road. He was the best of the best that Israel had. He knew his theology backwards, forwards, even upside down. He had the best of credentials. He had the highest degree. He was a public figure. He was, in fact, a man about town. And yet, here he is. There's something unconventional about this rabbi called Jesus. There's a dimension of relatedness to God that no other teacher had, and none of the others saw that. We should love Nicodemus. He was such a gentleman, such a considerate fellow. He wouldn't offend even those that he considered narrow-minded or prejudiced. But he wanted to learn more. And so secretly, so as not to offend, he comes to Jesus at night. As it turns out, no one knows the question that was on Nicodemus's mind. For almost before he had a chance to open his mouth, Jesus immediately shocks him. A person must be born from above, he says. And in his whiplash response, Nicodemus utters a bunch of nonsense. What Jesus is saying, and what Nicodemus eventually understands, the only way to recognize God's sovereignty is to find a new principle of life and thought. Poor guy. Poor Nicodemus. Jesus has just pulled the rug from underneath him. Was everything that was meaningful in the past good for nothing? Can nothing be brought forward? And if that wasn't shock enough, Jesus didn't offer him yet another inspired meditation on God's acts. What Jesus offers him is new life. For Nicodemus, baptism was a washing away of the achievements of the inspired study of God's acts. For Nicodemus, baptism made a personal change in the direction of his life. And no doubt, just like that small cub, Nicodemus stood taller and his face shone brighter. And no doubt, he had a lump in his throat. And there is no doubt that he knew who his sovereign was. And he would know that he would give his all to serve his king. In the year that King Uzziah now died, you can guess that I love this Sunday. Forget all those theories of the existence of God. Forget all those inspired meditations. This Sunday is simply all about God. It's about relationships. It's about lifting our heads in adversity. It's all about hearing that call and about our willingness to respond. It's all about that love that wouldn't let Isaiah go, that love that wouldn't let Nicodemus go. And if you and I are on that same road, it won't let you or I go either. Thanks be to God. Amen.